Morning, Cornerstone Church. Welcome on this Sunday where we decided to fast from air conditioning so we can appreciate what God has done for us in that area. Woo. Well, I'm here today to interview Brandon and Jen. One of the just things that I think we are incredibly blessed with at Cornerstone is the talent and the passion of the people who lead us in worship every week. And Brandon and Jen are here to tell us a little bit about their passion for worship and how they connect with God, you know, through the worship, and how we can connect with God through the worship as well. And so, how about we just jump right in? Would you guys let us know what happens when you worship God through music? Like, what happens in your heart, in your soul? What changes in you, or what experiences do you get from worshiping music that make you love it?
Sorry, my notes are actually on my phone. So I'm not, like, writing a text or anything. But when I worship, man, I always just experience this overwhelming joy. I mean, it's not a joy that you can explain. It's a supernatural joy. Also, I know that for whatever has gone on during my week or whatever negativity that I've experienced throughout the week and just in this time, I know that God is always going to be my peace. Like the Bible says that our words, the words that come out of our mouth, our tongues, actually have so much power in them. So when we sing these lyrics, when these words come out of our mouths, that power actually is able to change complete atmospheres that we're in and can just instantly just like fight this darkness that we feel like we're in right now. And so I love the fact that sometimes worship can be kind of warring against the enemy in a way. Kind of like the song says that we've been singing, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me. So when we praise, heaven is like coming down to where we're at in that moment, and they're actually fighting for us. So we can use praise as our weapon, as our tool against the enemy, to fight against the enemy. And that's why it's so special to me.
Yeah, I guess for me, I've always loved music. Like, from the time I was one, singing Rhinestone Cowboy, my parents couldn't figure out what I was singing, but the melody, they were like, oh, okay, yeah. So I've always, you know, sang, but I think when it comes to worship, it's just a way to connect with God. The lyrics are a great way to remind myself of the truth because so many of them are based in scripture. And so rather than just going through my day kind of blah to turn on the music, and it's just, it's a great way also, like Brandon said, to push back against the enemy. So when there are times where I'm doubting my own worth or I'm feeling like I made some bad choices or something, to just turn on music and to just combat the lies of the enemy with that truth and that beautiful truth, and just to praise God and push back that darkness with music. It's powerful.
Yeah. So if I'm someone here today who's like, I like connecting with God through service or the word, and I don't really feel like I connect so much to God through music, what kind of encouragement can you have for people who might not be able to relate to connecting with God through music? How can they sort of break through or enter into that?
I mean, a lot of times I have to remind myself that worship isn't actually for me. I mean, I don't worship for myself. I'm worshiping for God because he has given us life, abundant life and full life and joy, and he gives us so many gifts. So it's our act of gratitude to be able to pour out those gifts back into him and give that breath back to him. Also, sometimes worship through anger or whatever you're going through, even unbelief, or even if you're just feeling tired, you don't feel like singing, sometimes just worshiping in spite of all that can be so powerful for you and just your family, and that could be the most powerful thing in your life at that time, actually.
I feel like there are different ways that you can appreciate worship without I think for Brandon and I, because we love music, it's going to just be a natural thing. But I think if that doesn't resonate with you, maybe, like I said, just looking at the words and feeling the truth of that and kind of just singing it over yourself, because that truth is good for us to hear, to be reminded of God's faithfulness, of his love for us, the fact that he cared about us so much that he died for us, to just keep remembering that stuff. And I feel like that's an act of worship, to just, you know, remember that and just like, oh God, you are so good, you're so amazing. I think a lot of times when I'm up here, it's that corporate worship. Like, a lot of times I'm like, okay, am I gonna get the words right? You know, I'm kind of in the moment, but there are times where I know the song well enough that I'm able to just kind of be in the moment of worship, and it's like just like a little slice of heaven, because I hear all of you, and it's so beautiful. Like, it just reminds me what it's gonna be like in heaven someday when we're all together and just praising, and like that just feels so powerful to be like, this is it. This is heaven on earth, which is amazing, absolutely amazing. So.
Yeah, there's sort of been a shift in the way kind of a lot of churches do church, right? Back in the day, we sang the same songs for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And then the last, you know, 50 years, that's changed. What can happen is if we sing the same song over and over and over again, what can happen at some point is you kind of check out during that song mentally and you're not engaged anymore. That's why the Bible commands us to sing a new song. But then what Jen just said too, like there's, you know, times where she's up here and she knows the song well enough that she's just able to enter in. And that's kind of important, honestly, for us all. So Brandon actually sends out the set lists every Sunday on Facebook. If you're not a friend of our Facebook page, I'd encourage you to go on and friend Cornerstone Church of Blaine. And Brandon sends those songs out, and you can listen to them throughout the week and sort of listen to the songs that the worship team is leading us to worship to. And you come on Sundays, and then you'll know those songs better, and you can kind of close your eyes. You don't have to be so much reading and thinking, but just really entering in. That makes a big difference. How about how do you guys, when do you guys, or how do you guys really connect with God through music throughout your week?
Yeah. I know that for me, and I feel like for a lot of people, music is, just music in general is a very powerful thing. Of course, there's so many studies that show like how music affects the brain and just affects your attitude. I had to actually like catch myself, and I had to stop listening to music that did not encourage me altogether, that did not fill me with joy. Whenever I'm driving, whenever I'm in my car, I always have worship music playing. Actually, even in our house, my wife and I just start playing worship music just during the day, whenever we're getting ready in the morning, whenever we're making breakfast. And it's obvious, even if there's a little bit of negativity in the room, or if there's a little bit of clash between us, we know instantly that when we turn on worship, we're going to start worshiping with it. And so that's just instantly gone. We forget about anything that we're ever debating. So worship music, it is definitely a powerful thing throughout the week for you to listen to. And if you don't know what music to listen to, you can always come to me and ask me for like a list of some really good worship teams and worship songs that you can just start diving into. Because there's songs that go way even deeper than some of the KTIS songs. And then there's just a plethora of worship songs out there.
I definitely turn on music when I'm making breakfast and, you know, meals, which my kids oftentimes like, Mom, can you turn it down? It's not loud enough until you can feel it through the floor, in my opinion, but my kids don't necessarily agree with me. I love to just infuse it in my day. It's good for my kids. And I also find myself when, a lot of times, like, after I get out of counseling and I'm kind of processing what I went through with my counselor, and I'll get in my car and be like, okay, God, what song do I need to hear right now? Like, what truth do you need me to know? And a lot of times he'll just bring a song to my mind that just fits so perfectly with something that he's trying to tell me and trying to communicate to me. And so that's been a really beautiful way that I connect with him in a way that I wouldn't just without music. So,
yeah. One of the things I think you've heard a few times too is like, you know, worship really does change the spiritual atmosphere in the room. And I know there's been times where Sarah and I have been fighting, and we get to that point where we're really, really, really fighting. One of us leave the room and start, you know, going off and singing songs about Jesus. And that's the point we know we fought with each other so hard, the other person needs to go sing about Jesus now. but it's really true. I mean, it changes. That music is a way to focus your prayers and engage in that spiritual battle. And so we're going to do that here today in a moment, and we're going to continue on with the sermon about how we can continue to connect with God through music. And at this point, why don't we just give a round of applause to Jen and Brandon. I was going to say Brad and Jendon. Okay. That was hard. Let's give a round of applause. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to open up to Psalms 95, we're going to continue talking about why we sing in church. And before I explain what that video has to do with anything, I'd just like to point you to your bulletin real quick. We have Pizza Ranch coming up on June 18th, and the reason why I'm mentioning it is I have a fair amount of people who are new to our church, and we'd love for you to connect with our church. Now, the church isn't me up here, it's not Brandon over there, it's not the elders, whom you know Wednesday nights, it's all of us. It's you guys, and the more you connect with God and with each other, the stronger our church will be, and the more you'll be blessed through your participation here in Cornerstone. And so what we do is a couple times a year, we go out to Pizza Ranch, we just invite the whole church. We get anywhere from like 30 people to 70 people at those. It's just a ton of fun, and they have amazing chicken. And if you're new here, if you've never been to that Pizza Ranch before, even if you've been coming for a while, I want you to know if you've never been to Pizza Ranch, it's on us. Dinner's on us, because we really want you to connect with the people of Cornerstone. And so that's June 18th. Make sure to put that on your calendar. We'll be reading from Psalms 95 today. And that was my daughter, Grace, going sliding for the first time last winter. And 2 winters ago, I took my son, Isaiah, sliding, and they both had the same reaction. We got to the bottom, and it was again. Both of them have much different temperaments, and so Isaiah deadpans everything. And so we get to the bottom of this giant hill, and I was actually with Nick Salmi and his son, Callan, and we're there. And we get to the bottom of the hill, and it's his first time going down. He's like 2.5 years old or whatever. We all look at him, and he goes, "That's Isaiah," and Gracie's got a little more exuberance, and she says again and again and again. And being a dad, you get a lot of great exercise, and none is better than hauling your kids back up that hill on the sled. And while I'm doing that every winter, and doing that again and again and again, I enjoy every minute of it, but each time back up the hill, I'm secretly hoping inside that this is the last time that they want to go down. And then as we get in the sled and we go down again and go to the bottom, and they say again and again and again, I'm just amazed every year at the attention span that kids have when they find something they love. Kids are not like adults when they find something they love. They're not thinking, boy, I've got something else to do today. I've only got 2 more times I can go down. They're not distracted by the conflict that they're having at work or the pressures of providing for their family or caring for their family or any of that. When kids find something they love, they just do it and do it and do it again. There's times where we're in the car and we... If you have kids, don't ever introduce them to the Wiggles if you ever want to listen to anything else again. There's a time we'll hear a Wiggle song in the car, and it's just again and again and again and again. There's times we'll be reading a good book, and, you know, I really love reading my kids, but, you know, you get to the end of it. Children's books are not super intellectually challenging or stimulating for adults. We get to the end of that book, and I'm ready to be done. And I turn that last page, and I'm like, oh, check that one off the list. And if it's a good book, the kids will say, again, again, really? You want to read that book? We just read that book. Let's read a different book. No, no, we want that book again and again and again. Kids have an incredible attention span when they find something they love. And that reminds me of when we connect with God. We can really connect with God. God is so good, he's able to take adults who've got all these other things in their mind. He's so good, he's able to take adults who have all that other stuff on their hearts and make them say again and again and again, I want to connect with God again. I remember when I first became a born-again Christian, I went to church, I celebrated in the Sunday morning party with everyone else, and then I stole a hymnal on the way home because I wanted to connect with God again and again and again. I remember going back to college in my dorm room and just singing those hymns that we sang in church alone in my room because I wanted more of God. The church service wasn't enough. I wanted more. And connecting with God does not get old. One of the things about heaven that sounds off-putting for those of us, especially those of us who don't like music, there's sort of a, you know, we flatten heaven down into one thing, which is singing to God for an eternity. And we'll certainly be doing more than God. We won't be doing love, we'll certainly be doing that, but we'll be doing more as well. But those of us who don't like music, think about how much in the Bible talks about singing and praising God in heaven. We think, that sounds like hell for me, to sing to God forever. The reason why heaven won't get boring is because God is infinite. And there's always something new about God to enjoy. Connecting with God never gets old. Whenever we connect with God, we just want more and more and more, again and again. Any other subject focusing on it for a long period of time would be torture, for an eternity would be hell. But God never gets old. Every time we connect with God, he brings new life. That's why we'll be able to sing and be engaged for an eternity in heaven in worship of God. There's always new life to find in God. And singing is a great way to connect with God. It may be my favorite way to connect with God personally, so I'm super excited about this message. And so we're going to turn to Psalms 95, and we're going to look at the Word of God and what it says about how we can connect with God. I did forget the clicker, actually, somewhere. Oh, there it is. I'll just grab it quick. So Psalms 95 says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And so the Bible commands us to come forward and sing. And for those of us like Jen and Brandon who know what it's like to connect with God through music, who have a passion for connecting with God through music, that verse won't be much of a challenge. It's more like a comforting invite. But for those of us who don't really connect with God through music naturally, that verse is a challenge. There's a lot of reasons why we might not feel like we're connecting with God naturally through music. Maybe we're selective of our, you know, musical genres that we really like, or the musical instruments we really like, and contemporary Christian music might not check those boxes. We might have other pathways to God that we really feel we connect with God more through, and so those are the ones that we connect with God, and we sort of just, you know, might put up more with the music. We might not have the best singing voice. That would be me. And so you're a little bit concerned about how you sound in the service. Is other people thinking about what we're singing, listening to what we're singing? But the Bible doesn't say, okay, now all you artsy types sing. The Bible commands us all to sing because it's spiritually healthy for us to do so. And there are other ways to connecting with God. There's a lot of ways to connecting with God. Serving other people is a great way to connect with God when you do it in Jesus' name. Reading his word is a great way to connect with God. Through prayer, we have the prayer team in the back every Sunday. Hannah's going to come up and share about how we can connect with God through prayer next week. Praying's a great way to connect with God. One way to connect with God that people often don't think about is talking with unbelievers about him. When you summon the courage, if you're not someone who's done that before, when you summon the courage to actually start talking about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done in your life with unbelievers, the Holy Spirit is there. It's an incredible way to connect with God. There's a lot of other ways to connect with God. We might have that pathway, that one thing that we really engage with, but just because we can connect with God that way doesn't mean that we're fully enjoying God. Just because we can connect with God in one way doesn't even mean that we're spiritually healthy. The Bible commands us to sing because it is spiritually healthy. This is something that all of us can connect with God through. God doesn't say, you can read my word or you can sing. He doesn't say, sing, but if you don't like singing, just do two good acts of good deeds throughout the week. He says, everyone sing. We may have other ways that are our favorites, but singing is a way that we can connect to God. And I would say that as we go through this series, you know, in sermon series, we're calling it Why Church, and we're going through all the different things that we do in church, why sing, why pray, why give, why serve. If there's a sermon in this series, and if you're not going to be here, I encourage you to go to ccblaine.org. You can always listen to all our sermons, ones you miss, at ccblaine.org. As we're going through this series, if there's a sermon or two out there that you just really don't, doesn't make you feel comfortable, you're like, I'd rather not connect with God through that way, I would dare say that that is actually the exact area that God is trying to grow you spiritually and challenge you in, to connect with him in that way. And we can say that I connect with God through these other ways, but then I'm not going to connect with God through this way. But God wants to develop us spiritually so we can enjoy him more and so we can have more tools to enjoy him. We might say, I'm more of an intellectual, and so I love the study of his word. And typically, you know, music, both the word and music, they hit both of our minds and our hearts. But, you know, typically the word is more intellectually stimulating and challenging, and then, you know, the music is more emotionally expressive. And so we might say, I really love the intellectual side of my faith. I just love connecting with God through his word. And that may be true, but that shouldn't be an excuse to withhold the emotional parts of ourselves from God. That can be just an excuse we use to give God our mind, but not our hearts. And I think it's tempting to worship God in ways, or engage in worship of God in ways which allows us to maintain sort of our dignity and pride. And I'm kind of picking on this one a little bit, because when we connect with God through his word, it's very easy to make that a prideful exercise. Look at how much I know about the Lord. Look at how much I understand. Look at how developed my theology is. Those are all very good things. But I think it's a little bit easier to worship God and connect with God in a way which allows us to maintain that dignity and pride. And then if there's a way which causes us to perhaps sacrifice or lose that dignity and pride, well, that becomes a lot harder to worship God in that way. And if it's worship when we're in the public and we open our mouths and what might come out might not be incredibly pleasing to the ear, well, that is certainly a way which can cause us, our dignity and our pride, to be threatened. And so why should we sing? And here's why we should sing, even if we aren't comfortable in doing so. We can all connect with God through musical worship. And also in the next few verses, it starts to talk about why we should sing, even if we're uncomfortable. Verse 2 says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Going back to that verse 2, come into his presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise to him. Expressions of thanksgiving and joy, sadness, even grief. These are emotional experiences. And there's a lot of things you can do in life, but you can't smell the color blue. You can't close your eyes and say, I'm really enjoying the blueness of these chairs. What a special hue they are. It just doesn't work. Some things need to be expressed in certain ways. And the color blue is expressed visually. To enjoy and love the color blue, we've got to take a look at it and take it in with our eyes. Look at the beautiful seats. And thanksgiving, joy, peace, sadness, these are emotional exercises, and they need an emotional, spiritual expression. They need more than a Bible study. They might not need less than a Bible study, but certainly more as well. They need a worship service. These things lead us to desire an emotional expression of these things. And if we want to continue just pursue God in our intellectual lane or our lane of serving others or whatever lane it is, then we'll get to these parts of God where we're just not using the right tool to enjoy that part of God. We'll run into parts of our faith or parts of God that he wants us to enjoy, but instead we're sitting here with our eyes closed trying to smell the color blue. And if we open up our heart and engage our hearts and our spirits and our souls in these different avenues to connect with God, our faith will grow much stronger. We'll grow much more spiritually healthy as we grow as a spiritual person connecting with the God who created us. And so we sing because there are many emotional expressions which need a spiritual, emotional experiences which need a spiritual expression. Verse 3 says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depth of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are all his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. So So there's another reason why we sing to God, because he's worthy. And God is interesting. I love the study of his word. It is just fantastic. I thank God that I get to study it so much as a pastor. I read the news just about every day. And then I also read the word every day. And I'm just constantly in awe of the wisdom of God and how the solution to the problems of mankind, simply to get in his word and be transformed by it. I love the challenge of intellectually understanding it. I love the challenge of then applying that to our lives or our world. God is interesting. He's engaging. But he's more than just interesting. God is majestic. He's glorious. He's beautiful. He's awesome. And he is worthy. He's worthy of our songs and our praise. And our study of his word should lead us to expressions of emotion as we contemplate and comprehend that majesty and that glory. It's just more than interesting. There is an emotional part of it. Now, I don't want to make our faith an emotional faith and not an intellectual faith, but there is a balance. There is a like pedals on a bicycle. One fuels the other, and then the other fuels the first. As we study his word, we become more emotionally passionate about him. And as we become more emotionally passionate about him and grow in love for him, we want to study his word more. As we serve the Lord and challenge ourselves to serve and love others, it helps us to grow in our love. And I guess it's actually like many pedals on a bicycle, really. I do this exercise program, and actually a lot of us have done it before. Heather and Ann and Jesse, I do this exercise program. And we, you pay money. It just sounds so ridiculous. But you pay money to go in a room with a bunch of other people and do things you could do at home. They have you sit there and you do like this for 30 seconds, and you do this for 30 seconds, and they do this for 30 seconds. I mean, it's really hard. You try to do all that stuff for 30 seconds, it's exhausting. It is impossible. And I was talking with Jesse actually, and he goes, you know, I can do all those exercises at home, but I'm not doing all of those exercises at home. And it's true. You think like, oh, I'll just do that in my basement or something. You're not doing that in your basement. You're not going to step out and challenge yourself. And you get in the room, and it's also slightly challenging because like you see the person next to you working so hard. And it inspires you. You're like, well, if they're doing that, I can do a few more too. And then pretty soon you're working hard. Pretty soon you're all just gassed because you are pushing yourselves as hard as you can. Now you might think, and I'm going to just be honest too, you might think that you're not connecting with God at home. And there's plenty of times where I don't connect with God throughout my week. Where are you? What are you like? I just feel lost from God. And one of the points of the worship service, of the gathering, is so that we can come and literally be inspired by the love of God in other people. As we go through the week and we feel spiritually dry and spiritually dead, one of the things about the worship service is we come and just like that, we're like, look at this other person, and we see them, how much they sing. Well, I can try that, and we take that leap of faith, and we open our mouths, and we start to connect with God, or start to pay attention to the sermons, and the Holy Spirit touches our hearts or whatever, and suddenly we experience God again. That's actually one of the great challenges of faith, is to come and experience God here, and then bring that faith out into the world and experience God out in the world as well. I was a youth pastor. I love church camps. Love church camps, because you get the kids away from all the distraction, all that stuff. And you get them focused on the Lord, and it's a life-changing experience. Mission trips, too. Absolute life-changing experience on these trips as you get together and you're inspired by the passion of the love of God in other people. And you open up your heart, and God changes your heart, and suddenly you love God more, too. And the thing that we did every year was, every year I was a youth pastor, we'd come back, and we'd have more meetings after the trip because it was almost always the same thing. The kids would be like, oh, I felt God so much on this trip, and now I don't feel him at home. Where did he go? Where is he? It's the importance of gathering, continue to gather in community and be inspired by other people and their faith. And at some point, we grow in faith to the point that we can connect with God through home. Now, and then there's other times where some of us, and I've had this experience too, some of us are saying, you know, I connect with God so much more at home than in church. I get, you know, I wake up early and I read the Word of God in the mornings and it just fills me up. Or I take time and I'm in the kitchen and I turn on that worship music, I just connect with God. Nobody's around. Nobody's looking at me. I don't have to worry about what I sound like, what I'm wearing. I just connect with God so much there. And there's another reason to come to church. Just like the people at the gym have another purpose as well. You're not just working out for yourselves. You literally inspire the people around you. If you're connecting with God at home, more in church, well, there's more to coming to church than just being filled yourself. Your presence here adds so much. Adds so much. Anyway, back to that worship, or back to the exercise thing. So I do this exercise thing, and we're bouncing around. And the music that we listen to is just, it's so strange for me. I don't listen to music anymore. First of all, I don't have time. I've got too many kids. I don't listen to any music anymore. And I only hear new music at the gym. And it's been that way for a while. And we sit there, and we're all adults here. And we're all doing these things. And I'm listening to the music. And it's just, why are we choosing? Why would you make a choice to listen to this music? It doesn't make sense to me. And I'm sitting there, and ladies telling me how to spell bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, over and over. I'm just, what is the purpose of this music? Isn't there something a little more adult than we could maybe? Or another song that recently where the sole purpose of the song was it was a vehicle. It was like a 5-minute vehicle for this man in between funky sax solos to command us to talk dirty to him for the entire song. And I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, isn't this awkward for anybody else? I don't want to be talking dirty to this man. I want to be exercising. I want him to leave me alone. And there's nothing more. I don't want to be the guy who's like, who does devil's music. But I'm telling you, you just got to think critically about it. Think, what do I want to be filling my mind with? And I would just have to say, I don't think there's anything as a simple and less self-aware and more enslaved than our cultural expressions of worship of those little g gods, of romance and pleasure and all those things, all of those little g gods. They're all good things. They're all things that God has created and done according to him and his regulations. They can be incredible blessings to our lives. But they're not worthy of our worship. Only God is. As much as people who are just enslaved to that and can't get their minds off and are fixated by that continue to write song after song after song about some sort of tryst or desire. Only God is truly worship. Only God is truly worthy of that ultimate expression of the human soul. When I became a Christian, all of a sudden I was like, this is what music was made for. The ultimate subject. It's a fit. It's like puzzle pieces that go together. The ultimate expression of the human soul needs the ultimate subject. Only God is worthy of that. I love guitar. I love to play the guitar. I love the grunge guitar of the early 90s. I'm telling you. Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots. That stuff is all-time amazing. But this is one of the reasons why I love Pearl Jam. I couldn't understand a word that guy was saying. Completely distracted me from the folly and foolishness of that lyrics. If you can go online and listen to Yellow Ledbetter, the alternate version of Ed. It's hilarious on YouTube about people trying to interpret Eddie Vedder's lyrics. The more I could understand the lyrics, actually, the more it took away from my enjoyment of that song, because I would just think, I love this music, it's moving, but the subject is just so lame. But then you sit there and you think about the grandness and the majesty and the beauty of God, and you experience that through your spirit, and you connect with his spirit, and it is a fit. Only God is worthy. Suddenly, it was like, this is music I can get behind. I didn't understand all the people at Woodstock 95 out there going like this in the front with raising their hands to lyrics about a school shooting at Pearl Jam concerts. And the song Jeremy happens to be my name. But then all of a sudden you get to church, and now I can understand all this subject. Now it makes sense. Now this is a fit to raise my hands in worship of this capital G God. God is a worthy subject of our artistic expression. That's why we sing. Verse 6 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And we sing to humble ourselves and get back to the place where we thrive, which is bowed down to our God. Now, we love it when people praise us, and we need that. We need encouragement. We need love. We need support. We need somebody to pick me up. But our place is to praise another. That is actually the place where we thrive the most, to pray in praise of our God. We all want to be lifted up and encouraged. We love it. I love it when people tell me I've done a great job and give me glory and honor. But there's something incredibly spiritually healthy about us laying down our honor and our pride to praise the one who is worthy. There's something incredibly spiritually healthy about letting go of your honor to honor God. And it's not a bad thing that we're under his hand. He is great. It's not about crushing ourselves or being down on ourselves, but it is about humbling ourselves to get back into that place where we recognize we are his sheep. We are lost without him. We need him. It's incredibly spiritually healthy to do so. And so one of the reasons of singing is simply to humble ourselves and get back into the place where we belong. When we go throughout the week and we either think everyone should be listening to me, if they were, life would be going so much better, or we go throughout the week and we care for so many people, we have so much responsibility, we try to control everything, and it's so spiritually healthy to come back in our mind, there's one above me in control. There's one above me who actually people should be listening to. Those actually aren't my roles. It's healthy in an incredible amount of ways to bow ourselves down before God. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you harden, hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And we sing the truth of God to get it from our minds to our hearts. And it might be kind of obvious to come to church to sing about God's majesty and his glory and his might. Like, I recognize all of these things. It might be a little bit obvious to do that. Sort of like singing a song that, like, the sky is blue. The sky is blue, the sky is blue. Now, it wouldn't be super interesting to sing the sky is blue unless it were spiritually healthy to do so. Unless you're in a world where the fact of the sky being blue is under attack. If you went out in school, in the everyday in school, and they didn't allow you to discuss how the sky was blue, or even had classes that were teaching you about the sky being a different color, or if you went to work and you sat down and they popped in the training video at the beginning of your employment or at every, you know, update throughout the quarter, and it said that the sky is not blue. If you think the sky is blue, you can think that, but just don't say that and don't correct other people who think the sky is green. Here we appreciate all types of colors of the sky, and don't enforce your color on the sky on anyone else, and certainly don't write anything about the sky being blue or related maybe even to the color blue on a post-it note and put it on your desk. That would be offensive to people. If we went throughout the week and there was a spiritual force literally causing us to doubt the blueness of the sky, then suddenly coming and gathering together in a service with other people who see the sky as blue and reaffirming and reminding ourselves that, yes, we aren't crazy. We are being pressured by all of these other people and forces to deny the blueness of the sky. Suddenly then it becomes incredibly important to do so. And it gets that truth from our mind to our hearts. It's incredibly difficult to stand as the only person against everyone else in your circle of friends or acquaintances. Even if you're like a Packers fan and you hang out with all Vikings fans. If you dress in khakis and no one else wears khakis in your group. It's just incredibly hard not to be pressured to conform. And therefore, when we come and we sing about the sky being blue in church, it helps us to remember the truth and to fight against all those lies, and helps that truth go back from our minds to our hearts. There's a spiritual battle going on. And when Satan tempts us to doubt that God doesn't care, it's incredibly healing to come into the service and sing to God and be reminded of his faithfulness. When we're in a fight with our spouse, it's incredibly healing to come and sing about God's forgiveness. When we, at work, have the pressure of the world bearing down on us, it's so much healing to come and remember that we've got a God who's bigger than us, who's with us. The sky is blue, and God is good, and he is faithful, and I need to hear that. Like Jen said, sometimes we just have to ask ourselves, God, what do you want me to hear about you today? If we're inspired by God's word to sing his praises, then we'll connect with God. We'll find out more new things about the God who never grows old. And worship is when that immaterial part of us, our soul, reaches up to God like a child does to their parent in dependence. And when we do that, and singing is a great way to do that, and when we do that and we connect with God, and we find that he's always new and doesn't grow old, like a child, we can say again, again, again. Every Sunday when we come, we connect with him. Makes sense why we do this every Sunday again and again and again. I want to come back next week. When we do that and raise our hands to the Lord and connect with Him and say again and again and again, we'll not only be connected with God on Sundays, but we'll go home. We'll start seeking to connect with God there as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the God who is always new. I thank you for always bringing new things and new life. Lord, if our faith has grown cold and we feel like we're no longer connecting with you, God, I pray that you would open our hearts again today. If we hear your voice today, God, I pray you'd bless us, that we would not harden our hearts to it, but that that truth that we can connect with you would go again from our heads to our hearts. Lord, if we've been hesitant to give to you and submit the emotional part of our being to you, Lord, if we've rationalized it or justified our withholding of the praise of you that comes from our hearts, God, I pray you'd bless us that if we hear your word today, we'd not harden our hearts, but release them to you in worship and connect with you. God, I pray that you bless us that our dignity and our pride would not get in the way of enjoying you. I pray that you give us the boldness to open our mouth, to raise our hands physically, to engage the immaterial part of us, our spiritual side and our soul. God, I pray you'd engage that in worship of you, and we connect with you, and we'd find you are good, and that this is good, and this is an excellent way to connect with you and say again, again, again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time, if our ushers would like to come forward and receive our offering, if you're a guest here, what we'd really love for you to do, put your name on that connection card and your email address. We'd love to start sending you email updates about great ways to connect with Cornerstone Church. What we'd love more than an offering from our guests is just to know that you are here with us and how we can more deeply connect you with the church. And so if you don't get those cards in the basket, you can always give them to me out in the foyer as well. We have a little welcome bag for you. And after the basket's passed, please stand and join us in worship.